So our topic for this afternoon is keeping your husband's heart at home. And this is a fun topic. I mean, I enjoy learning. I enjoy learning from other people and gleaning ideas. And I hope you do too. But I feel like God has, you know, there's no honor and glory to go to me, because all that I am, all that I know, it's all from God. It's like, I'm not, who am I? I'm just a vessel that God can use. So anyway, the first question is, wife, is your heart at home? Some women look at the grass on the other side of the fence and think that looks greener. So we have ladies now in our world today that think that being a career woman is the real, the most wonderful thing in the world. And it's not. They've been deceived by Satan into thinking that the home is not a fun place to be. It's not an enjoyable place. But in Genesis, it says in 3:16, when God, okay, he cursed the ground, and then he cursed the ground for Adam. And then for women, it says, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And so I think inborn in every woman's, in every true woman's heart, is that desire toward her husband. She desires to have a husband, and she has a desire toward her husband. But it's Satan that really messes that up and makes women think that they don't have the best place in life. But really, that is the best place for a woman, if she's married, to that her desire will be to her husband. And in Psalm 128:3, maybe someone wants to look that up and read it. Psalm 128:3, we have a picture here. God is describing the woman's place.
Psalm 128:3.
Okay.
Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table.
So the woman is like a fruitful vine by the side of the house. And I read that recently and I was like, that doesn't sound so wonderful, just to be some vine by the side of a house. Until I pondered it more, and Ross was, you know, he was like thinking with me. And if you think about how the culture in the Middle East, or like in Africa where we are, they have compound houses. So think of rooms around, and then you have your courtyard in the middle. So in the courtyard, you have this vine growing up the side of the house. And maybe it goes across a trellis. So it makes a beautiful place of rest, a shady place to rest, or a place that the man can find refreshment. And then it might be a fruitful vine, and so it bears him fruit, you know. So it's a pretty picture of what a wife can be for her husband. She can give him rest, refreshment, and blessings. The fruit can be like a type of blessings. So that's a nice picture of how we can be for our husbands. In Proverbs 31, we all know Proverbs 31 chapter, I think. We've probably read it many times and pondered over it. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. She does him good and not evil. So these are just some introductory thoughts pertaining to the subject. So her husband safely trusts in her. Isn't that wonderful? That we can be the kind of person that our husband just safely trusts in. Okay, so the goal for this topic is to be the joyful, suitable helper that God intends for you to be, to keep your husband's heart. And this is important, that we keep our husband's hearts at home with us, because there's a world that's calling them. There's a world that's out there that's very wicked. And many men have fallen prey to that world and the evils of the world. And I was noticing something in the airport as we were coming to America. There's a new fad now, And it is worse than the skin tights that they had. That fad was like skin tights that were thick, more like tights, like a heavier. Now they have something. And I saw it different places, and I just, it was like, it's like skin. It is so thin. It's like skin, and it's glossy. It's shiny. And it just shows everything. Every contour, every dimple, every whatever. And it's just like, I pity our men that they have to look at this stuff. It's not what God intended at all. God doesn't intend for women to show off their bodies, but our men go out in the world. They see things they shouldn't have to see. And it's getting worse and worse. And so it's important that we love our husbands so much that that's just distasteful to them. They don't even, you know, because honestly, God made men that sight arouses them sexually. And God made them that way. And he did it for a purpose. He did it so that they would be drawn to us. But here's all these women out there in the world that are dressing to kill and to destroy our men. And so, and there are men that have a big problem. They're in bondage or have an addiction. And when it's like that, they need help. But then there's just the normal life. Men that are living in victory, but they see things they shouldn't have to see. And so it presents a temptation for them. So I say that because it's not like a woman should go on a guilt trip if a man is struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling. He needs to learn to live in victory. So it's not like it all rests on us. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Let's don't go on guilt trips and feel like it all rests on us if our husband is struggling. But we do have our part to play. And that's what I want to bring out to us today. That we can keep our husband's hearts at home toward us, or we can do things or behave in a way that will turn them away from us, and we don't want that. We do not want that, and I know that's every one of our hearts. We do not want to be like that. But sometimes unknowingly or in the busyness of life, we can neglect our husbands, and they can feel left out or like we don't care about them. Anyway, so number one, let your husband know he is the best. He is the very best. I hope we're doing this. I hope we're letting our husband know this. But sometimes we have sisters that we get really close to, or maybe our mother, and we might end up telling them things that we neglect to tell our husbands, or in some way make him feel like, you know what, our mother's really important to us, you know, and maybe they feel like they're not as important as our mother or our sister. And so I just want to warn us about that, that let's make sure that our husband knows that he is number one and that your love for him surpasses all other love. You love him way, way more than you do your own mother and your sisters. Because after all, we are one with him. That is the closest relationship on earth, husband and wife. So we owe him to let him know that he's number one and behave toward him like he's number one. And we are totally committed to our husband. Okay. Number two, treat your husband like a king. Did you ever hear the phrase, if you treat your husband like a king, he'll treat you like a queen? Have you heard that?
Yes.
I've heard that. And I think for the most part, it's true. I think there would be exceptions where a husband just doesn't respond well, but that's, we can do our part. Anyway, so who wants to look up Song of Solomon 2, 3 to 4?
I can read it.
All right, and someone else, 1 Peter 3, 6.
I need 1 Peter.
Okay.
As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Okay.
For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands may do. That's NLT.
That's good. That's fine. Did you all hear that? Okay. So our home is like a little kingdom, and the husband is the king. He's the one in charge. He's the one ruling over, and he is like a king. And we can be a sweet queen, pleasing to be with. We should be pleasing, a pleasing person to be for him to be with. And I think it's good for us to have that picture in our minds sometimes, that he's the king and we get to be the queen. It's a special place. It's a wonderful place to be. And we get to submit to him. And we talked about that some the other day. We get to respect and reverence him. Those are strong words, aren't they? Reverence. We think of reverence in God, but it says we should reverence our husband. That means we stand in awe of him. Wow. Respect and reverence him. That means we don't talk to him just anyway, right? It means we adore him. And let him know we adore him. And another way to treat him like a king is to bless him and thank him. It's really good to have a thankful heart. There are so many things that we can thank our husbands for. You know, they really take the brunt of everything. That's where the buck stops with our husband. And so he goes out and he works hard to provide for us. He meets the world, you know, he has the final say about things that happen to our family. He has the final say. We can always say, well, my husband said I should do this. You know, we can pass the buck to him. Like, if someone is countering us, maybe a decision we make or something, we can say, well, my husband said this. And he has to take that. You know, he takes that responsibility. But it's a good, I'm happy that I'm not the boss at our house. I'm so happy that he can take that load. I think I would cave in emotionally. I think we all would. I don't think it's made for us women to be the boss. And God knew we couldn't handle it. He knows what's best for us. So anyway, let's thank him and bless him for all the different responsibilities he carries, for how he works hard for the family, and just, it will really put wind in his sails, you could say, or wind in his wings, you know, to lift him up and encourage him, because it's not always easy for a man. Many times it's not easy. They face difficulties, problems, trials on the job, in ministry, and they need us to be there for them, and it can really be a blessing to them. Let's do special things to please him. Now, you know, as the longer we're married to our husband, the more we learn what he likes, what he really likes, and we can figure out ways to bless him. Special things to please him. And especially when he's maybe going through a discouraging time or a difficult time, we can make his special meal. We can just pray and ask God, how can I bless my husband today? You know what? And God gives us ideas. It seems like little things sometimes. I mean, is that worth praying about? Yes, it is. Because it's important. And we can ask God to help us to know how to bless him, how to be a sweet blessing to him, how to please him. I hope we pray for our husband every day. Remember the other day I mentioned that I think sometimes some of the reason we're anxious about a decision they make, or we're anxious about how this is going to work out, it's because maybe we're not praying enough for our husband, praying enough for the decisions he needs to make. Because when we pray about things and give our cares to God, then we have peace. Then we can just trust that God's going to work it all out. Let's do not defraud him in lovemaking. And I thought about this when Ross was sharing the last message, that we can make excuses. I don't know if you've ever been tempted to do that. I have sometimes. You know, it's like you're tired and it's okay. It's okay to be tired. Yeah. It's okay to be tired. But it shouldn't be tired, you know, the next night, and then the next night. And, you know, time is going, and it's been a while. And, yeah, our husbands need us. And it's a privilege we have to give to our husband, to satisfy them. in their hunger for us. And so let's don't make excuses. Sure, there's times when we're tired, and let's be honest with them. They don't want us just to fake, you know, fake that we're into this. But I think it's okay to say, you know what? God can give me strength. And I have prayed, Ross mentioned this, that I have done this. I have prayed already. I mean, I didn't learn this till just in the last, I don't know, 10 years maybe. As I'm getting older, sometimes I'm tired, and I've just learned to like ask God to give me the excitement, mm-hmm. and He does.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
And that is, these are things that I don't know. I think as we mature, we learn to pray about everything, right? Mm-hmm. Everything, and I just want to emphasize that pray about everything, mm-hmm. because God really does care more than we think He does. Anyway, anyone else have comments for that one? That one's a really important one. Mm-hmm. And Ross did a lot of talking this morning. I wondered what was going through people's minds. Like, sometimes as a wife, you sit there and you cringe a little bit because you don't know how people are taking it. But I heard laughing, so I thought, that's good. It seems like people are okay.
Digesting you.
Anyway, maybe someone has comments or a question at this point.
I don't know if I have a question, but I might have a little tip. I might be the weird one here, but I absolutely enjoy it. And so I never struggle with not wanting to. But sometimes I am tired, so what we do is, if I start in honor, we have this thing we call a quickie. Where he gives me a back rub and does his thing, and then we're both happy.
Right.
And it doesn't take much, you just have to lay there.
Right.
So
yeah.
Maybe if you're really tired, just do little things like that, and then
right.
you're still satisfying your husband.
Right.
Because they don't need long times of foreplay like we do.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. And we've done that too. It's like a wife doesn't always feel the need, and she doesn't have to, and that's okay. And I think our husband should just be okay with that too.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't always have to have the full experience. Yeah, does anyone else have a thought or a comment or a tip? Go ahead.
I have a question. Even when it's like you're going to this during your period and you're not even expecting that to be the end result, how do you, your husband looking for your exciting emotion when you feel sweet and loving, but how do you get to be able to show your heart more the way he understands it? Like maybe he wants more kissing or I don't know, things that mean to him and he just assumes I know what he wants. Kissing might not be my big thing, but it's wonderful for him. Is it just that you just have to do it and then to show that you're enjoying it because you love him, even if it might not be your thing that you enjoy doing the most? I don't know.
Right.
To show your heart that you adore him. When you're struggling
right.
to adore him maybe at that time.
Right. Anyone else have a thought about that? An answer for her?
I think you should ask your husband.
Yeah, I have asked him. What would
because
your
some
name
of those things I wonder too. Like,
you don't have to learn to enjoy kissing as much as he does. I've done better at it. It's not really my thing, but he wants you to really like learn how to really enjoy it and get turned on with it and everything. And I'm like, is that what I should learn to do? Like, is that something I need to practice and work at? Or?
Well, I think if he likes that, then you know maybe that's like. Something you should just develop.
Yeah, and just anyone that's not fake until you're making, but like show that you're desiring to like just saying, oh, I want to do it for you. That's not my thing.
Right.
It's not making sense.
I think if he realizes you're trying, I think that'll satisfy him. You know, like I'm.
Yeah, I think they want to hear from you too. Like he wants to hear what really turns you on.
Yes.
Right.
I have that.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know because somebody says, "Well, this should make it have an effect on you." Well, it doesn't, or you know. So maybe I need to search my heart and search together.
Right.
Right.
We both need. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. There's probably things that you enjoy that maybe he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
place. And so you, it's give and take. It's a way you can, if you know, if you really enjoy something, that you do it because you know that, and it works both ways.
Yes.
And not so bad that it's not your...
Right.
But no, because you love it.
Right.
Why I said that, ask him, because 10 years ago I read a couple's book, like probably one of these you mentioned here today, and I was like, these people have to be so vulnerable. Like, how do they know what to write? Because some of that I don't say. But I think that's what I have to come to the point of telling him, you know, what do you want me to do in this instance? Because I'm not sure how you feel or what you want me to do, and I think, but I just need to learn to be gentle. But communicate it so we can be open with each other, even when it feels like it's maybe my problem, it's his problem. But
right, that's good. Okay, now the next topic is another way to keep our husband's heart at home and not turn him away from us is to be content with what our husband provides. And this is a big one because women can, you know, you're in your house, you're thinking about what you need, and it's good to communicate with your husband what you need. That's great. But then don't nag. You know, don't keep bringing it up like maybe he thinks it's not important, as like we do. What's 1 Timothy 6:6? I forget what that verse is. I should look it up here. Be content with what your husband provides. I think it's the... There's several verses that talk about contentment. Pardon?
Is it because God has such a thing as you
know? True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth.
Oh, yes. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's another one that talks about, it's in another, I think it's Hebrews, where it talks about being content. And that is very important, that we're content with simple things, with what our husband provides. And some husbands can provide more than other husbands, but we shouldn't compare with others. If our lifestyle is different than someone else's, it's fine. And it's really, it's hard on a husband if he feels like he can never satisfy his wife with enough finances or enough things to satisfy her. But let's just be simple when it comes to the things of this earth, material things. And not feel like our husband has to provide everything like this lady over here or this sister over here. Because that's hard on our husband. They're working hard. They're trying. And do your part to make sure the money is sufficient. This is another big one for women. Some women. And I know, I think it's different like if a man is and his wife are from like a different lifestyle. Like maybe... the wife is used to having a lot more money than the man. And so I can see, for Ross and I, we both came from kind of the same level of, like, about the same financial level. And so we have meshed very well in that area, and it's not been a big deal about having things. So do your part to make sure the money is sufficient. Don't just spend the money, you know, for whatever. And you can be creative. You can figure out. I love to, like, be frugal and figure out ways to save and ways to make do. And my father had this little thing he liked to say. He saw it in the Reader's Digest. It was like, fix it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. And he kind of raised us with that mentality, you know. He was on a mission field. He was on a mission board for the work in Guatemala, and so he would rather give money to missions than to build a big kingdom on his farm. So I feel like that was a benefit for me. Do not compare your lifestyle with others. We talked about that. Okay, another way that we can keep our husband's heart is to not reveal marriage secrets or husband's faults to others. And this is really important. Somebody want to look up Proverbs 11:13.
A talebearer
revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter.
Okay. So he that is of a faithful spirit, he doesn't reveal the secrets, he keeps the secrets. Okay, now, I do have this, that if there is a serious problem in your marriage, there have been women that kept things for many, many years that they could have had gotten help. If they had just spoken to, like, the pastor's wife or somebody, they could have gotten help years before, but their marriage was just not a good situation at all, because they thought, as a good wife, they have to keep the secret. And it's not like that. Like, if there's a problem, it's good to talk to a qualified person, somebody that you can counsel with and get advice and get help. So I just want to mention that for the most part, we should keep our secrets, our marriage secrets. We've been a little vulnerable here. You know more about us than some people. But anyway, it's good to keep secrets, and so that your husband trusts you, that he doesn't have to wonder how many other women know what's happening in the bedroom. That's not a good idea at all. A wounded heart husband will recoil from you. So that will not keep his heart at home. That will not keep his heart turned toward you when he finds out that other people know your private matters. So that's really important. I know sometimes sisters get really close, and daughters and mothers get really close, but, you know, that's part of the fun of marriage. We have secrets. We have things that we don't tell other people. All right, number 5, keep your home a joyful, spirit-filled place. Someone want to look up Proverbs 31, 25, and 26?
Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Good. Okay, so she's wise and she's kind, and that brings rest. Our homes really need to be a place of rest, because the world is not a place of rest. And when our husbands are out in the world, out and about in the world, it's not a place of rest for them. But it's such a blessing to them when they can come home and things are in order. There's joy, there's peace, there's love flowing. It's just like a refreshment for them. And that's kind of the picture we got at the beginning there with the vine by the side of the house. The wife provides rest and refreshment and blessings. So the home needs to be like that. The wife needs to be like that. And she sets the atmosphere of the home, right? The wife sets the atmosphere of the home. Love, joy, and peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, prevail when your home is a Spirit-filled place. And we all have things to work through. You know, it's not like our home is perfect. We have to keep working at it and find the things that are causing problems and difficulties that keep it from being the Spirit-filled place that God wants it to be. One thing I really advocate is singing and praising the Lord while we're working. This brings such a peace. Like, children can be unruly, or they can just be agitated. Sometimes we don't always know what is going on, because sometimes Satan just attacks them. I can remember days when everything was just flowing and everything was going great. And then you have these days when it feels like all hell broke loose. And it's like, what is going on? You know? And maybe we realize we have a bad attitude. And so the protection for our children is not there. Or maybe we're not submitting to our husband like we should be. You know, sometimes it is those things where Satan has, there's a hole in the umbrella of protection over our children. And so we have chaos. But sometimes it is just the enemy attacking. And we have felt those times. And that's the time when we need to be strong, we need to be praying, and we can start singing. And when we start singing, it can make the biggest difference. It's just like it chases the devil away. And so I really advocate singing and praising the Lord. And our children will catch on to that spirit of joy. Our children will enter into the singing. And it's just a very wonderful thing. for our husbands, like to come home and there's peace at the house. There's not children struggling and crying. And I mean, it's going to be that way sometimes. It's in real life. But I feel like singing and praising the Lord is a wonderful thing. There are days, there have been days when I woke up to face a new day. And for some reason or the other, I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel joyful. I had time with God, but still, it's like this heaviness or whatever. And I just start singing. And it's like the last thing you feel like doing, but you do it anyway. And I really believe that when we sing when we don't feel like it, God gets more glory than when we sing when we feel like it. Because we're choosing to sing. We're not just singing flowing from our happy heart, but we're singing because we're choosing to sing regardless how we feel. And it's like God comes down and meets us when we do that. It's like that chases the enemy away. So we should try to settle conflicts quickly in our home to keep it a spirit-filled place so that, because things can really get out of hand. And I mean, our husbands help us with this. It's not like this falls only on us. Our husbands, when they're home, they also try to help to keep our place spirit-filled, joyful, flowing well. But many times our husbands are gone a lot, and so we want the place. We want our homes to be a place where he loves to come home to. He looks forward to it. He's not like dreading coming in the door because he doesn't know what he's going to find. Like, is the wife going to be crying? Is the children going to be all out of hand? But Ross told me one time, he said, every man wants to know that when he's not there, his wife can still carry on and manage without him. It's not a good feeling for a man to feel like he has to do it all. And we are his happy helpers. We're the ones that are there to be there for him. And so anyway, all these things are just ways that we can keep our husband's heart at home and with us and not tempted. It just takes away the temptation for him to even look at another woman or to dread coming home if we keep these things. Manage your home well, and I think we all, these are not new things for us, to keep our home neat and orderly, and for some husbands that's not as important as others. Some husbands, and every husband understands when you have children, you can't keep the house in tip-top shape with children. Things are going to be out of order some. But we do our best, right? Mm-hmm. Watch over our children well. This is important. That our husband can trust us. That's, you know, managing, being able to manage and watch over the children well. Our husbands trust us. They can trust us. And that means a lot for them. Because they can't be there all the time. Make sure food is ready and clothes are in order when husband needs them. It's really interesting. We've all come from different homes. Our mothers have taught us differently. But one thing my mother really drilled into me, and I'm so thankful for it, is she would, she taught me to serve the men. She would say, Cynthia, if we're at the table and my brother needs the ketchup or he needs something, she'll say, Cynthia, get it for him. Women are to serve the men. She taught me that, like, if my brothers needed something or my father needed something, go get it. You know, we're here to serve the men. I can still hear her say it. And that has really helped me in my home now to serve. Keep our home a pleasant, cheerful place of rest and refreshment. I think I repeated that. I had it up there on the point before this. But it's part of managing our house. So be an excellent wife. Wow, it seems like we have to be a lot, doesn't it? I mean, we have to do a lot and we have to be a lot.
And we have to be ready whenever. And
we have to what?
To be ready for sex whenever.
That's right. That's
and we
right.
have to be just right. And oh.
But you know what? Let's don't look at it as drudgery. Let's look at it as we get to do this. We get to be all this for the best man in the world, right? Wow. So let's be joyful.
If he's not, he's going to be. after we treat him like a king.
Yes, absolutely. So be an excellent wife. And somebody want to read Proverbs 31, 29, and 30?
Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Be joyful and thankful. I mentioned that before. Be so kind and caring and pleasant to be around that even when your husband is away from home, he's thinking about you. He can't wait to come back to you. Isn't that exciting? We get to do that. Oh, God is good. Anyway, Proverbs 31, 12, and 26.
I'm Proverbs 31 here. So. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Okay, I think we had that before. So these are upholding things that we want to keep, right? We want to be wise. We want to be kind. And this one, this next one is really, really good. Be more concerned about your character than your outward beauty. Mm-hmm. Is that biblical? Mm-hmm. It yes. sure is. 1 Peter 3, 4 and Proverbs 31, 30. Bring that out. We just had Proverbs 31, 30. So yes, we are supposed to be, and even like 1 Peter 3 talks about how a woman is not to put on the outward adorning, you know, and it lists things there, but they're supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit, and it's in the sight of God of great price. So we should be more concerned about our character than our outward beauty. And I don't think we should just not think about our outward beauty. I think we need to be neat and clean and pleasing, but we should give more concern to our character. I think God knows what women need. Like, he knows we're going to automatically think about our beauty, right? So, you know, he doesn't put a lot of emphasis on that. Because our character is what shines out of our face. Our character is what is eternal, has eternal value. And so and when we're like that, when we have a good character, that just attracts our husbands. It just draws them to us. And keeps his heart with us, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that we're trying to keep our husband at home all the time. It sounds like it in the title, keeping your husband's heart at home. We don't expect him to stay home all the time, right? But we want his heart to be at home all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
We want his heart to be at home. Even when he's away, his heart is still at home. Mm. And many times when Ross would go on mission trips or away, he would say, I hate to leave you. I can't wait to get back home. You know, and that's how it should be. That's how it should be. That our husband is just loves to be with us and loves to come back to us. So in conclusion, it's really simple. Trust God, respect your husband, and don't be fearful. Like our mother Sarah. She was not afraid with any amazement. Now, if there was someone that could have been afraid, it was when her husband left her, told her to tell the king that she's his sister, which she was, and then he takes off with her. But it says she was not afraid with any amazement. I can't quite imagine that, but it really lifts that up, as that's how we're supposed to be. So I think as we live with our husbands, dwell with our husbands, we shouldn't be fearful about life. With God and our husbands, they have it all under control. And so we can live this way to not be fearful. So that kind of sums it all up. Trusting God, respecting our husbands, and not being fearful, like our mother Sarah. So may God help us to find joy in our role and to be all that we can be for our husbands. It seems like a big job, but we just go with God's flow, right? By his Holy Spirit, we can do and be what God wants us to be. That's what I have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right. That's right. And sometimes we don't have physical strength. Have you ever felt energized by God's Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
We've all sensed that, right? When yes. Times when we just felt like we couldn't go anymore, and then we just got a spurt of energy from God, by God's Holy Spirit. And we could do what we didn't think we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I just recommend that is what God has for us. Thank you so much. And maybe someone has a question or comment or a testimony on one of these points that, you know, testimonies really help us to visualize. And so maybe somebody has a testimony they can share about their experience.